Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. We have just celebrated two great occasions in our church's calendar: the Feast of All Saints on November the 1st and All Souls Day on November the 2nd. These feast days have a very important reality in our lives as Catholic Christians. And it is important to understand the lesson that they teach us and the vocation to which they call us. Now, obviously, on the Feast of All Saints, there is attention paid to all of those numerous men and women who are now saints but whose names are not known to us, those who fully conform their lives to the pattern of Jesus Christ and now spend eternity with him. And so our vocation is to that imitation. Our vocation is to holiness, to become ever more Christ-like, to be joined, in fact, to the very divine life that Jesus came to reveal to us by taking on our human nature. And it always reminds me of a phrase that a certain French writer wrote when he was talking about holiness. And he said, you know, the only true sadness in life is not being a saint. Now, of course, when we hear the word holy or saintliness, sometimes we picture in our mind a particular kind of expression of that that holiness. But I always turn to that document on the Church, which dedicates a chapter to the universal call to holiness, in which it defines the character of holiness. And I want to tell you about the four aspects of it. There is first doing always the will of God and hungering each day that that will be done, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. The second is following in the footsteps of Jesus, in a sense spiritually tracing his footprint, and through our spiritual discipline trying to place every foot and every step we take into those footprints. Thirdly, it is offering true prayer and worship, especially as the whole body of Christ within the Church. And fourthly, doing the good that we can for our neighbor in need, to be of service to others. And I think, as we know, holiness lies often in the small details of our lives, how we speak, how we touch the lives of others who are near, how we attend to our obligations and responsibilities, and how, in fact, they all prepare us for those greater and more fundamental events of our lives that will mean the establishment of our full human personality in Jesus Christ. But there is another meaning to the days that we celebrate as All Saints and All Souls. For what we celebrate is our future as well as our present. We celebrate what is known as the Communio Sanctorum. Now that phrase, Communio Sanctorum, for those of you who have studied Latin, can mean one of two things. Either it can mean the communion of the saints, or it can mean the communion in holy things, the communion that is established by our common participation, say, in baptism and in the Holy Eucharist. But of course, these two aspects of the Latin phrase are not contradictory, and they are interrelated. For what they tell us is that as members of the church, we are part of a vast community of the faithful, past, present, and future. When we refer to the church, we are not referring simply to those who are present here and now on this earth, perhaps particularly in a particular mass, in a particular church. We are part of those who have preceded us, those who have died in Christ, and we are also part of the future, of those who will follow us. Now, it is God's will that every human person be saved through the power of Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. But although we are to attend to our individual salvation, it is also God's will that we understand that salvation, we are awakened to it in and through the whole community. That, in fact, to be called to holiness is also to be called to a community of holy people. And therefore, there was that old expression that outside the church there is no salvation. And it means that if there were no church, no community of believers, salvation would not be preached, salvation would not be extended, and the invitation to holiness be heard again and again and again, so that all might be joined into one body, the church, which is also, of course, the body of Christ. Now, in traditional theology, this reality of the communion of the saints, or the communion in holy things, was defined in three ways. There was the church triumphant. They were the saints and the angels that exist eternally with God. There is the church militant, that is, those who are alive at any particular moment, joined in common prayer. And the church suffering, that is, those who are going through that final purgation, those who have been forgiven all of their sins spiritually, but still have those temporal effects of sin to deal with, who are going through that final stage of perdition, but in fact are bound to heaven. But all of the members of the church are joined together in mutual care, in mutual worship, and in expectant hope. The saints pray for us. We pray for those who are suffering, those who have not yet known Christ. The suffering pray for our prayers, just as we pray for the prayers of all the saints and angels. And it is all done in that expectant hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all things will be revealed and a new heaven and a new earth will be created. And being members of this communion, we are first to remember those who went before us. And this should awaken a tremendous sense of gratitude for what, in fact, they lived, what they taught, what example they gave, and what they passed on to us. And in that thankfulness, and one of the, I think, surest ways of showing our true-hearted thankfulness, is to remain steadfast in the truth which we have received, deepening it in our lives, and finally, passing it on. For we need to take responsibility, having received so many gifts ourselves and having been sustained by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, to pass that on to a future generation. For this is the final and ultimate hope of us all, that we will become part of that kingdom in which all things will be part of Jesus Christ and living for all eternity. So we need to build up the body of Christ, remembering the past, preparing for the future, but realizing we have to share that faith and that membership that we enjoy. For at the heart of being part of the communion of saints, is possessing the heart of a missionary, of being willing to share in large ways and in small ways. For the gift that we have received is not a gift that might be that must be hidden, but rather be opened and shared. Now, as we express this community of the Christian faithful in that communion of saints, we realize that the finest expression and the fullest expression on earth of that communion is the common and united circle of prayer, especially found in the Holy Eucharist. Whenever we pray, whenever we offer worship, especially in the Mass, we are part of the living presence of the saints and angels among us, as well as those who still call upon us for their prayers. That is why the participation in the sacraments, and especially in the Eucharist, is so fundamental a responsibility of members of the Church. We also need to give an example of the faith we have in Christ, but not only as individuals, but as the whole community. How, in fact, is our whole community known? How does it reach out in service to God and to neighbor? How do we live together in harmony and peace, sharing the same truth? We also, of course, are called to the remembrance of the dead. For the forgetting of the dead, the forgetting of the past, is like losing our memory, as if we woke up every day of our lives and we had to start off afresh. And then remembrance of the dead also awakens that concern for the future. And as members of the Communion of Saints, I think it is important for us to live as all Christians should live, in humility and in hope, while remembering the words of Jesus that he spoke as he ascended into heaven, "Behold, I am with you until the end of the ages." And in that assurance, with that hope, and the power of prayer and faith, we will meet him face to face.